We know this story. We've heard it, variations of it, some of us many, many times. Yet you can feel something different. How transcendent is the proclamation of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, especially this day and this week. The beautiful yet haunting African-American hymn asks, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" And on Palm Sunday, during Holy Week, every year our senses are heightened and our spirits are attuned in a particular way that we can answer, we were there. We are there. Tradition holds and scholars agree that the gospel account that we just proclaimed together was St. Mark's capture of the preaching from St. Peter, our first pope. Each year, the church rotates between Luke, Matthew, and Mark's gospels on Palm Sunday, with John's account being part of Good Friday every year. And these gospel writers present this familiar story from their own perspectives, which are unique and special in their own ways. Mark and Peter's account has almost this breathless energy, and you can hear the urgency and the seriousness of what's happened. There are these nameless individuals who do things that are more important to Jesus than the person performing them, which are remembered, like the courageous, bold woman who lovingly anoints Jesus with this expensive oil, or these individuals who lead the apostles to the place that's set aside for the Last Supper. There are these random things, like hearing that the man who helped Jesus carry the cross, Simon the Cyrenian, was the father of Alexander and Rufus. Fathers are rarely identified in reference to their sons, especially in Scripture. It's usually the other way around. And that hints that the initial listeners of Peter and the readers of Mark would have known Alexander and Rufus, who were these well-known members of the early Christian church, highlighting how this seemingly random chance encounter between Simon the Cyrenian and Jesus forever changed the course of Simon's life, as well as that of his family and his descendants. But what stands out most of all in this account is Simon Peter's broken heart as he recounts what happened when they crucified the Lord. Matthew and John in their Gospels both share how Jesus predicts that Peter will deny him before the cock crows. But in this Gospel, Mark gives all the excruciating details. It starts with Peter boldly claiming, "Even though all should have their face shaken, mine will not be." And you can imagine the guilt and shame that Peter feels in recounting his bravado as he expands with what exactly Jesus predicted, as the scene is seared into his mind and heart. "Amen, I say to you, this night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. There will be two crows and three denials." Those numbers, these words, this scene must have played over and over and over for Peter in his memory as this conversation continues, with Peter vehemently arguing, "No, Lord Jesus, I would never do that." As he insists, "Even though I should have to die with you, I will not deny you." Peter's shame is laid bare as he shares that when a maidservant, hardly an individual who poses any threat to him, someone who in that entire context is the furthest from having any power or influence or authority, observes Peter and says, "You too were with the Nazarene Jesus." And Peter immediately loses his courage. "And a cock crowed once, and he heard it. It caught his attention. It still echoes in his heart. It should have immediately served as a warning. Maybe it did. making his second and third denials so much more devastating. A single denial would have been bad enough. Three times tripled the seriousness of this act, that from the one that Jesus had called the rock on which he would build his church. These details all highlight how for Peter, the pain of his sin was especially real. It's a sin that was thoughtless in every meaning of the word. It was both the furthest thing from Peter's mind to deny Jesus and one of the worst things he could have done at that moment. You can hear the continued pain of one who has experienced forgiveness, which Peter does after Jesus is raised from the dead, but is still struggling with forgiving himself long after these events first took place. And as he's recalling them again and again in his preaching, we can hear Peter's broken heart, broken out of regret of what he did and didn't do, broken when he realized that not only how much he had grown to love Jesus, but after all this time, he was only starting to grasp the love that Jesus had for him, which would even take this sin and this setback and this broken heart and transform it, leaving a tenderness and a vulnerability that humbles Peter's somewhat oblivious arrogance. The man who had this unfounded confidence and was so sure of himself now recognizes that the only way forward was listening to Jesus. The only confidence he could have was remembering all that Jesus said and following Jesus' example, including to the cross. Finally, it clicked that taking up the cross himself wasn't a suggestion or an option for discipleship, enabling Peter to have the most ultimate of comebacks, solidifying him as the rock of the church in a way that would have been unimaginable to him that first Good Friday. And that's not just true for Peter. There was another curious, unusual detail in this gospel. Earlier in the narrative, this young man is described as wearing nothing but a linen cloth, and after the arrest of Jesus is just following along and is seized by the authorities. And the gospel tells us that this guy slips out of their grasp by slipping out of that cloth, and the young man is said to have ran off naked. Scholars believe that this is St. Mark himself, revealing how in the midst of this night of high anxiety and fear and failure among all those closest to Jesus, how Mark himself reacted. It's almost like Mark, after listening to Peter, wrestling with all these mistakes and his own failures, having to almost fraternally remind him with this absurd and somewhat comedic moment to say, "Brother, it wasn't just you who failed. They all did. We all did." As the prayer that we prayed all throughout Lent reminds us, we've all failed the Lord God in our thoughts, in our words, in what we've done, and what we've failed to do. But Jesus continues to take brokenness and transform it. And that's what he wants to do for each and every one of us who finds ourselves there, who finds ourselves here as they crucify him. Jesus wants us to understand that what causes his very heart and soul to be troubled and distressed in that garden of Gethsemane is the thought of losing any single one of us. Jesus wants us to recognize that his absorbing the hatred and the rejection and the unfairness and the injustice of the world with that arrest and trial and passion is so that we can see him, we can find him when those same things happen to us here and now. He's right there with us on our worst days. Jesus wants us to grasp that what holds his hands and feet to the cross are not the nails, but the complete and absolute love that he has for you and for me. As we come to the cross this Palm Sunday, this Holy Week, he wants us to receive all of that and to be forever changed by it.